Live from NPR News, I'm Janine Herbst. Senate confirmation hearings get underway tomorrow for President Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Judge Amy Coney Barrett. In prepared opening remarks, Barrett will focus on her family and say that policy decisions should be made by political branches and not the courts. It's the start of 4 days of hearings on Barrett to fill the seat left vacant by the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. NPR's Susan Davis has more.
The hearings are moving ahead under highly unusual circumstances, just 3 weeks before an election and during an ongoing coronavirus outbreak roiling Washington. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has been adamant that the hearings continue, despite two members of the Judiciary Committee testing positive. Senators will be able to choose whether to participate in person or remotely. As a precaution, the committee has reduced the number of people who will be allowed to attend the hearing. If the week goes smoothly for Barrett, Republicans appear to have the votes locked down to confirm her to the Supreme Court before Election Day. Susan Davis, NPR News, Washington.
President Trump is claiming he no longer has the coronavirus and has stopped taking medication to treat COVID-19. As NPR's Barbara Sprunt reports, Trump's comments come as he gets ready to get back on the campaign trail tomorrow.
In a wide-ranging interview, Trump told Fox News he, quote, beat the virus.
Not only that, it seems like I'm immune, so I can go way out of a basement, which I would have done anyway, and which I did, because you have to run a country. You have to get out of the basement, and it looks like I'm immune for, I don't know, maybe a long time, or maybe a short time. It could be a lifetime. Nobody really knows.
Questions remain as to how much and for how long someone who was infected with the coronavirus has immunity. The president's physician, Sean Conley, wrote in a memo on Saturday that Trump is, quote, no longer considered a transmission risk to others. However, he did not say that Trump has tested negative for the coronavirus. Barbara Sprunt, NPR News.
And Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden campaigns in the critical swing state of Ohio tomorrow with stops in Toledo and Cincinnati. In Louisiana, utility crews fanned out across the southwestern part of the state, restoring electricity in the wake of Hurricane Delta. Hundreds of thousands are still without power. This as residents started to return home to assess the damage. Roads are lined with debris and houses are missing roofs in an area already devastated by Hurricane Laura in August. All this amidst a pandemic. Governor John Bel Edwards.
I know that there are people who were fatigued by these disasters and emergencies. I will just remind you that the COVID is not going to go away because we get tired of it.
Edwards says the storm is blamed for at least one death, an 86-year-old man. The remnants of Delta are dumping rain now in the mid-Atlantic. This is NPR. South Carolina Senate candidate Jamie Harrison has raised $57 million to unseat Republican incumbent Senator Lindsey Graham. The money raised in the third quarter shatters a record set by then-Senate candidate Beto O'Rourke in 2018, and it brings Harrison's campaign total to $86 million. Graham hasn't released his financial record from that quarter yet, but he told Fox News last month he was being killed financially. Graham, a strong ally of President Trump, is facing his toughest re-election campaign as he fights for a fourth term. Massachusetts ranks as the best state for women and Louisiana as the worst. That's according to a new analysis from Georgetown University. As NPR Sarah McCammon explains, the report examines the status of women in all 50 states and the District of Columbia.
The Georgetown Institute for Women, Peace, and Security has developed a new ranking system that analyzes the well-being of women based on factors like access to parental leave, representation in government, and protections from violence. The report finds wide-ranging gaps depending on where a woman lives, with the top-performing states, Massachusetts and Connecticut, scoring roughly four times higher than the bottom two performers, Mississippi and Louisiana. The Georgetown study compares data across U.S. states and also to other countries. For black women in New Jersey, the maternal mortality rate was nearly four times that of white New Jersey women and worse than the maternal mortality rate in Iraq. Sarah McCammon, NPR News.
And I'm Janine Herbst, and you're listening to NPR News.